Amen. Well, today is Wednesday, July 17th, 2000. July. Woo! Where did that one come from? I know. November 17th. Wow, I don't know where that came from. Wonder if Grandpa's talking about me right now. That was weird. November 17th. Sorry, wrong calendar. You know, I got distracted thinking it's almost Christmas. Thanksgiving's next week. I love Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday. Huh? I don't love turkey. I just like food and football. Relaxing. 4-day weekend. Yeah. Anyways, tonight's message came up to came upon my heart during last week's message when we had Brother Aaron on the pulpit, and he was delivering a message about creation. And not only did he talk about, actually he didn't, I did, but not only was mentioned the initial creation of the world and the earth and all those things that God did right in the very beginning, and that's read in Genesis, but he also talked about the plagues and some of the miracles and other things that God also created. And I seen interest perk up because when Aaron was asking what some of the plagues were and was talking about them, there was one in particular that means a lot, has a lot of influence, has a lot of meaning on our faith and on our belief. Even though we are not Jewish, even though we do not observe Passover, it is still very important. And it's important to understand what it means and what it is. So that's why our subject tonight is on Passover. And I'm not going to read to you every scripture that talks about it, but basically Passover is first mentioned in Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 12, the word talks about Moses and how him and Aaron had gone to Pharaoh requesting that the slaves, the Israelis had, he requested their release. And of course, if anybody knows the story of the Ten Commandments or seen the movie, you know the plagues that were brought onto Pharaoh in order to try to get his heart to not be hardened and for his heart to agree to release the people. Within that chapter of Exodus, within chapter 12, it also talks about the beginning of the Jewish calendar. It also talks about the sacrificial lamb that will be slain in order to protect them. Now, I'm going to jump down to Exodus 12, verse 12. The word says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all of the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." Verse 13 says, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are." And oh, I'm going to stop right there. So, and anyways, going back to verse 12, God gave a command that he was going to kill the firstborn of every household. Every man, every beast, the firstborn would die as a way of getting Pharaoh's attention to release the people. If you go back up, Verse 1 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying," this tells you that it's coming from God, "This month unto you shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." So when Passover starts, that's the beginning of the Jewish calendar, the beginning of the Jewish year. It says, "Speaking unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house." That's verse 3. Verse 4 says, "And if the household be too little for that lamb, let him and his neighbors next to his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man to eating shall make your count for the lamb." Verse 5 tells us about the lamb. Now, you guys need to listen to this because it's important. It might sound like me just rambling, but it's important, and you'll get it once we're done. Verse 5 says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take the blood and strike it on," bless you, "two side posts and on the upper door post of the house." So they mark the doors. On this day that the Lord has declared, they were to slay the lamb, with a perfect lamb, without blemish, without spot, on the two sides and above the top of the door. They were to mark it. "Then they shall eat the feast of the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat it not of raw, nor sodden at all with water," which means what? Don't boil it. Don't eat it raw. "But roast with the fire its head with his legs, and then the puritans thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus ye shall eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." It is the Lord's Passover. Now, what this means is God gave them specific instructions on what to do, how to slay the lamb, when to do it, what day to do it, how to do it, how it needed to be cooked. God gave specific instructions for all of these things. Then he told them to mark their doorposts with the blood. Then when he sent forth the Spirit to slay all the firstborn of every household, those houses that were marked with the blood were what? Were passed over. They were passed over. They were missed. They were skipped. They were saved by the hand of God. That's where Passover comes from, because it means to be passed over. They were saved by the hand of God because they obeyed his command. They obeyed his every instruction and did what he said. So when that spirit came down to kill all the firstborn of the land, where those doorways were marked, where those posts were marked on the doors, the spirit knew not to enter there. That people within were of the Lord, that they knew God and had obeyed his commandments, so they were saved. This is told in verse 13. It says, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it as a feast of the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast and ordinance forever." So that command there in verse 14, Exodus chapter 12, verse 14, is the command to the people to always keep this celebration, to always keep this festival. A lot of times it is not only called Passover, but it's also called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The unleavened bread is a symbol of... It's a symbol of... La, 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 la. Verse 11, where it says, "Ye shall eat it in haste." Unleavened bread was designed because in their haste, God wanted them to be able, in the blink of an eye, to flee Egypt. When he finally broke Pharaoh and Pharaoh finally agreed to let the people go, he wanted them to go. Not wait for your bread to rise because you put leaven, an leavening agent in it. Okay? Unleavened bread is bread that has not risen. It's flat. So any type of flat bread, pita bread is what they associate it closely with. A pita bread doesn't have a leavening agent in it. When you make regular bread, you put yeast in it and the yeast makes it rise. Okay, well, unleavened bread does not have that. The reason they made unleavened bread was for because of the command in verse 11. You can see the Lord told them to eat with their shoes on. To eat with their shoes on, to eat with their coats on, with their staff in their hand, ready to be ready to leave. Passover is about the celebration of the commands and how the Lord saved the people of Israel. Okay? It's called Passover because the houses were passed over because of those instructions that God gave. Now you have to remember, all those that didn't have those markings, the firstborn in their household died. They were all killed. So that gives you a little bit of information. I'm going to go in a little bit further, and I'm not going to, obviously not going to keep you very long because it's not a long service or sermon, but I want you to understand, and I haven't gotten to why Passover is important to us. This is the explanation of Passover to the Israelite people, to the Jewish slaves that were in Egypt. And this was basically the final plague that allowed them to be freed from Pharaoh's reign. Passover is the first of three great festivals of the Israelite people. It referred to the sacrifices of a lamb in Egypt when the Israelites were slaves. So that's what it refers to. The Bible tells that God helped the Israelites escape slavery in Egypt by inflicting 10 plagues on the Egyptians before their release. They were instructed to smear the blood as a signal to God that he should pass over the houses when he destroyed those firstborn. Now, we get on to more why it's so important to us. Can anybody think of what verse 5 may be referring to? In the Old Testament of Exodus 12, verse 5, it says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year." Can any of the children tell me what that might be? What that is a symbol of? Who was perfect? Slain. Xander. Who was perfect that was killed? Ethan. Jesus. Yes, he was the firstborn and he was a man. Okay. The lamb that the Israelites used when they killed it and used the blood of that lamb to mark their post, the doorpost, is a reference to Christ and the blood that he shed on the cross to save us from our sin. Okay? In New Testament times, large numbers of people gather in Jerusalem to observe the annual Passover. There are a lot of people that go to the homeland to observe the Passover. Jesus was crucified in the city during one of the Passover celebrations. He and his disciples ate a Passover meal the night before he was crucified. The night before his death. Does anybody remember what that his meal was called? Ethan? The Last Supper. Like the blood of the lamb that saved the Hebrew people from destruction in Egypt, his blood as the ultimate Passover sacrifice redeems us from the power of sin and death. The blood of Christ saves us from sin and eternal death. It is the final perfect sacrifice that was needed to save a dead and dying and sinful world. You know that we no longer have to pay. We no longer do sacrifices. You know, we haven't gotten into studies. Somebody, you know, we might not all know about all that. But when there's instruction in the Old Testament where when they would sin, they'd have to go to the priest and take two turtle doves or a lamb or a bull and have it sacrificed unto the Lord to be forgiven of their sins. Well, we don't do that any longer. We don't have to do that any longer because Christ came and paid He was our sacrifice. Now, if you go back to Exodus 12, you can see a lot more references. Well, I wouldn't say a lot more. There's a couple more. In verse 6, they were instructed to kill it in the evening, which is when they believe Christ was crucified, was in the evening. Okay? Obviously, they didn't eat the Lord. All the other. But there was another one too that I had read. And of course, now I'm not going to find it. Ah, right here. Verse 10. It says, "And ye shall let nothing of it remain until morning." What happened to Christ? What happened on the morning they went to look for him? He was gone. He wasn't there. Another foreshadowing of what was to come. We see all the time in the Old Testament where things are referenced of the upcoming of things that were going to happen in the future. The Passover is a very good example of how the Israelite, the Jews, the slaves were saved by God's hand. We are saved by God's hand as well because of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross and his blood that pays the penalty for our sins. It's important for you to understand that even though we may not celebrate with a festival, Passover, we may not go to the homeland, it still has meaning for us because we follow Christ, we are believers of Christ, and we seek him in our lives and in our hearts. You have to understand all that he went through in order to know what it means to be in a relationship with him. It's important to understand all these things. You can start with the New Testament and read that, which is, there's nothing wrong with it. You also have to know Christ, what he said, what he did, in order to know whether or not you want to follow the man, okay? Or the God, or however you want to look at it. But you also have to know that, or realize that, in order to relate, to truly relate to what he went through, you also have to read the Old Testament, because that's all they had then. That's all they had to go by. We are fortunate to know to have both so that we could see all that Christ went through and we have his teachings and all of his examples and all of his miracles that prove to us that he was the lamb that the Lord intended to be the perfect sacrifice. It gives us the proof that a lot of people feel they need to know that Christ was truly the Son of God. A lot of people still don't believe it. But because of all that is written in the book and all that happened, we know that to be the true word of God. We know these things happened. If they were just words, that'd be different. But we know that they happened, and they can be verified by other forms, not just by the Bible. Go back and study Egyptian history. Study Roman history. You'll get these examples as well. Maybe not in the same exact form, but they're going to be referenced. Keep in mind what I said about Christ, how he celebrated Passover, how his death was during Passover. Passover, obviously, because Christ was crucified during Passover. Passover is generally celebrated around our Easter. It's celebrated in the spring, not in the winter. I'm preaching it now because it come up now. And it's just another thing that we use our Wednesday night services for, to educate us and to learn a little bit more. And to know why these things happened the way they did, and know why they're important, to draw us closer to God in the Word. Passover was created because of one of the plagues. Without those plagues, Pharaoh's heart wouldn't have been softened enough to let the people go. Right. So, like I said, short message tonight, but I hope that it helps you understand a little more on what these things mean and will draw you closer to the Lord. My final scripture that I have for you tonight is from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And the word says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Christ is our Passover. Christ is our sacrificial lamb. And he enters in and renews us. We are unleavened. We will not rise until we are with him once again. Amen. Does anybody have any questions about Passover? Do you understand where it is? Yes, Kristen. Yeah? Awesome. Awesome. So this is kind of tying in with what you're learning at school. That's very good. That might be why these messages are coming up then, when they are with you here. So that's wonderful. And then we want to make sure that we stay within the Word of God, and that we don't go within the world. You know, we stay within the Word and not within the world, because it's important to remain in the Word of God so that we can be obedient. Alrighty. If nobody has any other questions or anything to add, then we can stand for dismissal.